God bless you and welcome to Catholic Radio, KBVM Portland. We welcome you, those of you in the Portland, Salem, Vancouver area listening locally on your FM dial at 88.3 FM. We greet our national and international listeners at kbvm.fm. We pray we receive some wonderful Canadian listeners today on the internet. I've been getting some great emails from many parts of Canada who are finding us on Catholic Radio at kbvm.fm. And so we welcome you. Those of you who are tuned in, continue to stay with us as we celebrate the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and this station dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. As we begin this morning, we are going to celebrate the lives of the saints and again, looking at some of those qualities that God calls us to really live out in our daily lives. And we're going to really focus on one man who continued to respond amidst adversity that the world would say are weaknesses. But though we are weak, through Christ, he is strong. And we're going to talk about this man that we hear about, Brother André Bessette, who will become the first Canadian-born male, will become a saint this Sunday in the Roman Catholic Church. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that beautiful contribution to our history. In today's Magnificat from the Psalms, it says this: "If you, O Lord, laid bare our guilt, who could endure it? But you are forgiving, God of Israel." And he is known as the Miracle Man of Montreal. And I think he was an example of that forgiveness, that healing power of Jesus Christ, and continued to focus his eyes on those others that he met as a porter. And we'll hear a little bit about that. And each and every person, I think he saw the eyes of Jesus Christ. We have a great opportunity today through Catholic Radio to have Father Ron Rabb with us. In fact, he was here just with us on Friday with our Share-a-thon. Father Ron serves as an associate pastor at the Downtown Chapel of St. Vincent de Paul in Portland, Oregon. He is the host of On the Margins, which you hear on KBVM. And the Downtown Chapel is the home of the Brother André Cafe. Father Ron Rabb, once again, welcome back to KBVM.
Thank you so much.
It's always nice to have you joining us. And a few months ago, you mentioned to me a project that had been going on, and the Downtown Chapel had been invited to participate in a documentary that was done by a Canadian-born Catholic radio and television community known as Salt and Light. And I'm just going to share a little bit about Salt and Light. With a community in Canada with about 12.8 million Catholics, that's about 43% of all Canadians. They represent quite a few households, over 5 million households. And so Canadian Catholic television has come to fruition since about 2003, when the Holy Father visited during World Youth Day in Toronto, Canada, and out came Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation, nonprofit charitable organization that is using, like we do here at KBVM, modern media to have a tool for Catholics to know about their faith, to evangelize their faith, and to continue to support one another in our walk in faith. We're going to talk to one of the producers and staff members of Salt and Light TV, and that is Mary Rose Bacani. And Mary Rose, God bless you. Welcome to our program this morning all the way from Toronto, Canada.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to have Toronto here, Portland, Oregon represented, and the Universal Catholic Church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Mary Rose, I'm going to have you share just a little bit about the mission of Salt and Light Catholic Media. We here at Catholic Radio talk so much about the importance of good Catholic media throughout the world and using different forms of technology. And maybe give us a little bit of the heart of how, through World Youth Day and some of the activities in Canada in the early 2000s, fueled this Salt and Light TV.
Well, what happened was Father Thomas Ruzicka, the CEO of Salt and Light Television, was also the executive director of World Youth Day 2002 in Toronto. So when he was given the idea of starting up a television network, which is really a media foundation with links to the web, YouTube, Facebook, radio, so not only television, he thought of Salt and Light because that was the theme of World Youth Day. And he firmly believes, he believed it then, in organizing World Youth Day, and even now in running Salt and Light Television, that you need young people to spread the message of the gospel because they're the future of the church. So that spirit carries on, and there are a lot of young people on staff who did work with him on World Youth Day, and that spirit continues with that youthful message of the gospel, that flavor of the gospel that spreads through the life and vitality young people have.
Mm. Mary Rose, for our listeners here in the States, could you describe maybe a little bit about the Catholic community in Canada? Maybe just as you live in Canada, you're in Toronto, but just if you could describe maybe a bit about the culture, the Catholic culture in your community.
Well, we have a very vibrant Catholic community, but when I did go to the U.S., I saw a very different sort of personality to the Catholic community there. We have a lot of young people here who are involved in various Catholic initiatives. We have young people starting up Compass on different campuses, university campuses, as a ministry. We have a lot of young people involved in music ministry, starting up their own bands. We have young people involved even with us in media projects, different high schools and elementary schools working on different music videos or videos for their school. We have young people working with us who are interested in spreading the faith, so catechism, blogs. So we have a lot of these youth ministers working in different parishes, knowing with us, so that's what we're exposed to, that young people need to be spreading the gospel, giving that fresh sort of outlook on the church.
It's exciting. Well, you've done magazine shows, documentaries, hosting talk shows, other commentaries as well. And what is your background, Mary Rose, coming to Salt and Life, having this opportunity to use media? What was some of your earlier training that kind of gave you some of the skills to walk into this ministry?
Well, what really happened was, honestly, when I went to University of Toronto here in Toronto, Canada, for a year, and decided to go deeper in my faith. I wasn't really that interested in my faith as a Catholic till I ended up being a lay missionary in Reign Christi, a branch of the Legionaries of Christ. So for 3 years, that's where I grew in my faith, and I realized that the faith needs to be spread, needs to be made or shown to be relevant to people today, because it became relevant to me. But I knew I wanted to finish university, so I did do my post-secondary education, or finished it, in California at Thomas Aquinas College. Now, that did not train me specifically for journalism or media work, but it did give me intellectual, you could say, preparation, how the faith needs to be understood and spread and even read, how to read the gospel, how to read the great minds, because that was a liberal arts, you could say, great books program, a very unique program in the States. Now, I was originally thinking of becoming a lawyer, following my dad's footsteps. Mm-hmm. That's what he was in the Philippines. But I think it's one of those calls. It really was a call. I felt I had to go back to Toronto and work with Catholic media. And not print media, but television. But at the time, Salt and Light hadn't even begun.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know then why I was feeling that call to come to Toronto, Canada. But it was made clear once I did come back, I saw my family again, I was away for about eight years, that Salt and Light was starting up. I heard it from somebody, and then I went and presented myself. And usually I'm the kind of person who plans things. I need to know exactly why I'm doing something and extremely prepared. So I show up and I said, you know what, I received this call and I wanted to be here. But nonetheless, there was I have been into creative writing. I've loved creative writing since I was in elementary school. Joined a lot of competitions, did win some awards in high school and in university. I was still interested in that, and that was something I was cultivating. And it did. One thing that did happen in college, in Thomas Aquinas College, is I had a few friends looking for people to play newscaster in a video they were producing. And they said, you know what, why don't you be a newscaster? You have that sort of aura of being a newscaster. You have that voice and that presence. So there it sort of started that interest of, you know what, maybe there could be something here. But one thing I did know, that I could do whatever I wanted to do, because I felt so prepared by that college, and I felt so prepared by my Catholic intellectual background, and I just knew I could do it, that I had the creativity, the energy, the talent, and the interest to work in media. And so that's how it started. But working at Salt and Light, we've been receiving workshops from those who've been in the field of media for a while, documentary filmmakers, those who've worked on CBC, our Canadian network here in Canada. So we've been getting a lot of coaching on writing, filming, scripting, some coaching and editing. So that's how it sort of progressed. It's by sort of jumping in and living out, I guess, this call, you could say. So I've been here for 7 years.
That's awesome. Talking with Mary Rose Bacani. She's out in Toronto, Canada, and part of the Salt and Light TV community. And what a great mission of evangelization. And we've been blessed here, Mary Rose, to be part of Catholic Radio for the last 21 years. So wow. We know the impact of the media in the hearts and the souls of its listeners, of its viewers, in terms of television and other viewable media. And it is incredible. We had a chance a few years ago. Now we're celebrating Father Ron's sixth season of one of the programs that he hosts is called On the Margins, which really comes from the Brother Andre Cafe, that mission of evangelization, of reaching out to the poor, reaching out to those most in need. And your paths crossed on this documentary, and it is called God's Doorkeeper. Mary Rose, tell us a little bit about Salt and Light taking on a documentary on the life of Brother Andre. When did this kind of start? When did you start thinking about this in terms of a project that you would take on as a staff?
Mm-hmm. Well, Father Thomas Ruzicka, our CEO, is very connected to everything that's happening in the Canadian Church, the American Church, even the Vatican. So that's his interest and that's his responsibility. And we've known for a while that we wanted to do something on Brother Andre Bessette, knowing that we wanted to focus a lot on our North American saints and martyrs. We've been getting a lot of feedback from our viewers that they would really like to see more Canadian coverage, like more of our, our saints, holy people, personalities. So that was in our radar. And then we've also been in contact with St. Joseph's Oratory because we want to televise the Mass daily from there. So that was in the works. So that interest, that partnership has been in the works for a while. And then once we learned that Brother Andre was to be canonized, once we found that out from Pope Benedict in February, the ball got rolling. But at that time, not knowing that it was going to be so soon in October, it didn't give us much time to really, start cracking on the documentary. So what happened was because Sebastian is our French producer here, the head producer for the French department. He also works for French marketing, has been already very involved in several things. And I was already in the middle of a few projects when the news came around. That actual sort of, you could say, the grunt of the work didn't begin till June with pre-production. So that's how it all started, with the idea, because of that partnership and Father Tom sort of appointing who the two would be, knowing it would be a bilingual documentary, because obviously Brother Andre is a Montreal saint, so there's French and English. The first documentary that we're doing that's bilingual, as well as, international at the same time, and leading up towards the canonization of one of our most important saints, our first male Canadian-born saint.
Hmm. Well, I want to encourage people to visit the website saltandlighttv.org. You're going to be able to see a trailer. We're going to listen to the trailer in just a little bit. You can listen to the English trailer or also look at some of the French connections on the website, because you're going to get a really wonderful glimpse into the life of Brother Andre. Father Ron Rabb, coming into the program here on, and as you hear kind of really, the mission is starting to, I see this light flickering of the mission of evangelization. When did you first hear about this documentary, the works of it happening, and then the idea of them coming to Portland, Oregon, USA, to do some filming right at the downtown chapel?
Well, first of all, Mary Rose, it's good to hear your voice again.
You too, Father Ron.
Yes.
It's been a few months.
And I guess I first learned about it from one of our assistant provincials from the Indiana province, who contacted me and said that Salt and Light would like to come and interview us because of our mission in serving people who are surviving poverty. And it was just a great opportunity for us to make those connections of what we've been saying all along, that Andre's life and his mission and his hospitality was really in place at our place, and all the ways in which we serve people really is modeled after Andre's life. And so he's a very, very important person in our community, and we were very pleased to share that with Salt and Light.
From your perspective, and we're going to get Mary Rose's perspective as well, as she was able to come down and visit the downtown chapel and do a little bit of shooting. But what was that experience like for you? I know you were here at the studio. We were talking a little bit about this television crew's coming. I don't know what to expect. And you, what am I going to share them? We only have a short amount of time to take the coverage. But what, from your perspective and the staff of the downtown chapel, were you able to share in those few hours?
Sure. It was very exciting. And of course, we had absolutely no idea what we were getting into. And I don't think Mary Rose had any idea what she was getting into as well. And so we just kind of made it up as we went along from Sunday afternoon until Tuesday morning. And it was just whatever presented itself is what we did, actually. So Mary Rose and her crew just showed up on that Monday morning, and we just started filming things. And it was very exciting. And most of it for me was just... you know, just a great opportunity to be able to present what we do at the Downtown Chapel in a larger forum. And again, just making those connections that the gospel is real among people who are living in poverty. And that's the real place where Andre is still today. And that's the, you know, again, just the mission of the gospel. So it was very exciting for us to have Mary Rose and her crew for a couple of days. And again, I know we just made it up as we went along, but it was really, really fun. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And it was so good to meet the folks at Salt and Light.
Yeah.
And I hope we can meet again on another project.
Wow. Well, the documentary is called God's Doorkeeper. And Mary Rose, with the staff at Salt and Light, when you're looking at a documentary and when people visit your website, saltandlighttv.org, they're going to see many documentaries that your crew has already worked on in the past few years. What are some of the things, because you're trying to tell a life story of a person, and so, but you only have a short period of time in which to cover so much history. What are some of the key elements that you hope to capture as you do interviews and you do research and you try to put all of these things together?
Well, the hard part is, first of all, it's important to know the story of the person you're going to be doing the filming on. But because film is not really exactly about telling everything, because that's what books are for and you know, reading articles are for, the idea is to catch the heart and the message of that man without boring people to death with all the talking and all the text and all the information. So it's important for me to even grasp what the heart of his story is. So when looking for interviews, the key thing is to find out who would present themselves wonderfully on camera, because it's their job is to interest people and not reveal everything. So that's part of the trick, is for me to know sort of the heart of it. And I believe in praying so much and in reading and listening to people, doing pre-interviews, that's so key. I believe I was able to find the right people for the documentary in such a short amount of time, and that's why I was able to find Father Ron at the Downtown Chapel, even though we've never met.
Right.
Just through trusting with the information that I have and from what I could, you know, hear of him and his, you know, sort of getting a gut instinct or a feeling for people, because they're really, it's going to be them telling the story and I'm going to be picking from what they said.
Right, right. Now on the website it says you filmed in Quebec, New Hampshire, Indiana, here in Oregon, and then in Rome.
Can That's right.
you talk a little bit about some of those locations and what was key to find in those various locales?
Sure. So first stop, Montreal. And obviously for the reasons of St. Joseph's Oratory being there, Brother Andre living most of his life there, and his great legacy is sort of, it's lived out there today still by the priest and brothers of Holy Cross. So that obviously had to be our first stop. And there... a lot of it was also political, where you have the Cardinal Turcotte, the Archbishop of Montreal, who could speak about the church in Montreal, the church in Canada, looking at the canonization of the saints and what he meant. There are the brothers who work there at the oratory. Obviously, Father Claude Grew, the rector of the at St. Joseph's Oratory. But I was also able to find, I was really, really happy with this, and it was really Father Mario LaChapelle, the vice postulator for the cause of canonization, who helped me find a few of the people that took a little bit more hunting to find, and that's a relative of Brother Andre. And he happens to be a brother of Holy Cross as well, and he is one of the really dynamic personal interviews that gave you a real look into Brother Andre in the past and Brother Andre's life being lived today. And we found somebody who was healed by Brother Andre. And that took quite a bit of hunting, but we were able to find him. He's also a brother of Holy Cross, our retired brother. We were also able to find Brother Gerard Dion, who is the vicar provincial for the Canadian province. And he will be speaking at the canonization as well, and he had been studying the life of Brother Andre. We found a biographer. So all those things we found in Montreal. But because half of the interviews were English, half of the interviews were French, some people spoke in both languages, we spent most of that first time going to Montreal doing interviews to get the story, because people were also going to Rome for council meetings or just vacation, because that was, if you recall, that's June, the end of June, so summer was already on its way. So that was the importance of Montreal. But we knew, too, that this is an international story. The story of Brother Andre does not belong to Canada alone, and his impact was largely felt in the United States. But I did not know how much until I started searching, and I found the name of the same person Father Ron just mentioned, the assistant provincial for the Indiana province for the Congregation of Holy Cross. And he pointed out to me a few leads where in the U.S. I could film. I gave myself a limit of 3 places. I only had a little over a week to film. So I had to be very choosy, and in 1.5 weeks, I had to choose who we were interviewing in Montreal, in the United States, in Rome, for the documentary. So I didn't have much time to do all the choosing, and I just prayed, and I researched, and I pre-interviewed to find the right people. But I believe I did. So we went to Portland, Oregon, and that's where we met Father Ron, downtown chapel, where the legacy of Brother Andre is deeply felt. We went to Notre Dame, Indiana, found a few great people there to interview as well, and to Manchester, New Hampshire, because French Canadians, the East Coast is where Brother Andre would frequently visit the French Canadian Franco-American community there, and he would heal the sick there and obtain, if you could say, supporters for the building of the oratory. So that's how it all started, and in Rome, obviously, the vice postulator for the cause of canonization, and the Superior General of the Congregation of Holy Cross at the time, Father Hugh Cleary, were 2 of our interviews. So that's how it all sort of came together.
It's incredible, and I look forward to, I want to let our listeners, though, that you're going to do the first showing of this documentary on October 17th, the date of the canonization, Eastern Time, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock, our time. If you want to hop on the website, saltandlighttv.org, there's going to be a link where people can view that premiere of God's Doorman, St. Andre of Montreal, and I'm excited to let people know about that. Mary Rose and Father Ron, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear what people will see on the trailer. I encourage people to go to the trailer, because you're going to be able to see the beautiful images that Mary Rose and the team have been able to really take together and really define the heart, as you mentioned, Mary Rose, of Brother Andre. But listen to the message, listen to the words, the passion, I think, of this man who he left such a legacy, I think, at the hearts of so many. This is called God's Doorkeeper, Salt and Light TV. Mary Rose is with us from Toronto, Canada. Father Ron Rabb, our friend from the downtown chapel and on the margins, both our guests here on In Person this morning on Catholic Radio. You're in tune to KBVM.FM or locally 88.3 FM. God's Doorkeeper. You can see this online, saltandlighttv.org. Listen to it right now here at Catholic Radio. We'll be right back with Mary Rose and Father Ron. This is Dina Marie on KBVM.
A lot of the people of the time lived in poverty, lived a very simple life in the country. Life was hard.
In a time when people were measured up against their physical strength, their intellect, and where they came from, it seemed he had nothing to offer.
On se moque de lui parce qu'il est petit, dans une époque où la force physique était très importante encore.
Et le pauvre, dans sa jeunesse, ayant perdu son père et sa mère très jeune, ayant charrié à un endroit et à un autre.
But as a doorman for the Congregation of Holy Cross, Brother Andre Bessette made of his life a miracle. And people experienced healing in their lives because of him.
The way that he treated the sick, there was something that came out of that man that it's something that we cannot explain.
His work was to be with people in their suffering and to be able to help them transform that into an experience of God.
He moved through his suffering to find for people's lives a new meaning. That was the miracle.
Lorsqu'il est mort, c'était certain que c'était un saint.
Salt and Light Television proudly presents a moving documentary on the first male Canadian-born saint and the first saint of the Congregation of Holy Cross, Brother André Bessette. Salt and Light Television is proud to present A Hand of Peace, Pope Pius XII and the Holocaust. The first film to cut through the lies and tell the remarkable true story of one man's hidden efforts to defy Nazi terror.
Our Talmud says if you save a single life, it is if you save the whole world. You're assured rewards in the world to come. He saved more than a single life.
And some good things happening at Salt and Light TV. Encouraged to see Catholic radio, Catholic media, Catholic television around the world bringing the message of truth and of hope and of Jesus Christ. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person. You're hearing some of the products that come out of Salt and Light TV coming from the heart and coming from a mission of evangelization and sharing the truth in use of the media. Salt and Light TV is in Toronto, Canada. We've got one of their staff members, one of their producers, Mary Rose Bacani, with us. She was recently in Portland, Oregon with her crew to work on a documentary. You heard just a little bit of that, and I hope it encourages you to get onto their website at saltandlighttv.org and view it for the first time on October 17th. That will be the canonization date of a blessed Brother André Bessette. And what an exciting news it is for us to hear, and really an opportunity for us to embrace our Catholic faith and to see some of these models who really lived a beautiful life. Father Ron Rabb with us in studio from downtown Portland at the Downtown Chapel. And Father Ron, as you hear again, you've heard that trailer over and over again. We just watched it before we got Mary Rose on the line. And the suffering, the miracle that you mentioned about the embrace of the suffering. And I think about the mission of Holy Cross, the Congregation of Holy Cross. And Father Moreau said, the cross is our only hope. And Brother André finds himself in this community that really promotes that message of the suffering and the cross and Jesus Christ.
Right. And first of all, I mean, the suffering came from André himself, who was an orphan who came from poverty himself. He was illiterate and not quite sure about what to do with his own life, and he was a very fragile person. And even the community itself was very reluctant to even invite him into the community in the first place because of his frail health. And I think that's the suffering that he worked through, his own loneliness, his own poverty, his own ill health, to come to a greater dependence on God in the first place, and to offer his life and abandon his life into God's love. And that's I think the real message. And then from that came his ability to be a spokesperson for the kingdom, for God's healing, and people noticed that and found that and discovered that, and his dedication to Saint Joseph. It was because he felt that Joseph was the person who quietly stood by the person of Jesus. And that was really André's model, to stand by and with the person of Jesus. And the first miracles that were attributed to André or to God through André was when André was 31. And, you know, he lived to be 91. And one of the things I've been thinking about lately is, you know, how did he do that? You know, mm-hmm. How do you live with yourself, knowing that all of this is happening through you? And he lived in, you know, of course, another 60 years after those initial healings. And so I think it's really important that we recognize André as a saint for all people, but to model his sense of hospitality for people living in poverty, and those who are suffering. That really is a model for us at the Downtown Chapel, that we try to model our entire parish after the message of his hospitality, that all people are welcome, that those who are surviving poverty and mental illness and homelessness and drug addiction and alcoholism and all of the things that push people to the margins of society in the first place are welcomed into a community, into a place of faith, where we do not judge people, we do not condemn people, we do not blame people for their suffering or their poverty or their joblessness. But it is a place of hospitality where all people are welcome. And that should be a place in every parish community and throughout the world. That should be the heart of the gospel itself, where all people are welcomed for who they are, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Father Ron Rabb with us from the Downtown Chapel. Mary Rose, when you and your staff came out to Portland, Oregon, and maybe it was for many of them their first experience in Portland, and you had a few moments to be here at the Downtown Chapel, can you reflect a little bit about what you experienced there yourself? One is as a filmmaker, and you've got this mission to accomplish, but also there's got to be kind of personal emotions. And as a Catholic, you experienced the Brother Andre Cafe, the Downtown Chapel, the people of the community. Can you reflect a little bit about how that impacted you?
Sure. Well, when I was going there, I knew from talking to Father Ron while I was still filming at the Oratory that we were going to film certain parts that he felt were vital to illustrating what the Downtown Chapel is about. There was the washing of the feet. There was the ministry to the people coming in. And so we wanted to capture very visual things. But I didn't know how it would all really look like. I did have a taste of it from their website and the videos there. So when I did go, it was as a filmmaker, but I also wanted to experience something. I wanted to experience the message, because in writing the story, I can't disengage myself from what's happening. I wanted to be part of it and write it the way it is, show the feeling the way it is. And there were, I mean, I'd like to say two things about it. One was, in being there, one thing that really stood out for me, among other things, was, I don't know if Father Ron remembers this, but Andy Nate started playing guitar with one of the people at coming to the Downtown Chapel. They were playing the guitar, everybody was eating, but we caught a lot of that, and the reason was, it's just, here's this moment of Andy Nate just being with this person, you know, listening to him, having fun, enjoying a good time, like having a good time. And that, you know, despite all the things you would think of, like the feeding of the homeless, giving them what they need, medication, etc., like here was just a simple example of what's at the heart of Brother Andre's message. It reminded me of what I heard from Montreal, of how he was just a great listener. He just listened to people. Sure, he didn't have enough time all the time. He had to tell people, okay, you know what, I got to see the next person. But he would listen well enough to know what that person needed and give them that, whatever it was. May not be physical healing, but there's some spiritual healing, something involved in that sort of encounter, that relationship. So that was one thing that really struck me. And the other one was actually interviewing Father Ron. I've just met Father Ron, and then the next day we were going to do his interview, or maybe that same day. I can't even remember. We were there for only 2 days. And something happened. Father Ron was on camera, and then all his passion came out. Not that I didn't see any of it before, but just that moment of just asking him these questions that we've talked about before, and him giving me basically not only what he knows, but like his heart. I could see his passion and his energy and his love for these people and his love for Brother Andre. So those were two, I think, very memorable moments for me that really taught me a lot about how, you know, you can expect certain things, but you're always surprised by the people you find, what actually happens when you're in the process of capturing a story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're excited to see the final version of this documentary, Mary Rose. I can't imagine going through hours and hours and hours of all of this great film and then deciding how long is the documentary going to be?
It's about 52 minutes.
Okay.
But at the end of the documentary, we will add 10 minutes of the canonization coverage. So what people will see on Sunday, October 17th, will be the actual film itself. Mm-hmm. But on the final DVD, we will add the canonization coverage.
Okay. And these DVDs, people will be able to order on your website. In fact, people can place an order right now for the DVD.
Yes, that's right. They can place an order. We've been also having this Facebook competition, so if people know about this, you can get a free DVD. It's our last one to give away this week. And all they have to do is go to our Facebook page, Salt Plus Light TV, write on our wall what inspires them about Brother Andre, and if we, you know, if depending on how many people like that one, then we will give them a free DVD once it's done.
Very cool. Okay, people yeah. can find that on saltandlighttv.org, which I'm just getting very excited about this work. Share a little bit, Mary Rose, about what Salt and Light is doing in terms of coverage. You mentioned the canonization and some of the upcoming events that you're going to have available. People can view on the website, things that people will be able to kind of keep in touch. You really want to touch the Canadian viewers, but also internationally, people can really follow this canonization process.
Yes. Okay, so on our website, saltandlighttv.org, there's a special Brother Andre webpage. You can actually see it at the top of that the homepage. Just click on that. It's saltandlighttv.org/Brother Andre. Actually, if you wanted to go directly to it, and there you would read more about the documentary, about the canonization coverage, the schedule of the coverage. It's mainly in French, obviously, since this is a Montreal saint, a French Canadian saint. But we do cover the Mass again in English at 10 a.m. Eastern on the Sunday, and I will be hosting that one. And then the actual documentary will premiere on Salt and Light, 9 p.m. Eastern, as you mentioned. And for those of those viewers who are not in Canada, you can view that online via live streaming, so you won't be left out of it.
Okay. Wow. That's exciting. Exciting yeah. news to hear. Again, saltandlighttv.org is the website. Mary Rose, what have you seen as a response from Canadians about once Pope Benedict mentioned earlier this year that Brother Andre would be canonized? Did you see some things happen in the media? Did you see things happen in the parishes? Just kind of viewing the response. Are people getting excited? Are they getting behind sharing the message of the life of Brother Andre?
Oh my gosh. Are they ever? Because... from the moment we heard that message about the canonization, we've been getting secular media calling us, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? And I think that was probably part of the push. We were mm-hmm. thinking, okay, we really got to get going on this because we're small staffed. We're a charity, nonprofit. So it's not like we have a huge team that they can do all the scouting and, you know, get all the stories for us. We do a lot of the work ourselves, and it can be overwhelming at times. So... this was very exciting to hear from secular media, their interest.
Mm-hmm.
From our own Catholic media, our largest national Catholic weekly newspaper did a huge Brother Andre spread recently, and they've been in contact with us about what's going on, where we went, who we interviewed. Also, recently, from Holy Cross, your communication tool for Holy Cross Vocation Outreach Choices, they've asked us to do a piece for them. We've been covering different stories in different schools named after Brother Andre because they've been getting a lot of feedback as well, media interest, and so they've been telling us their stories. So we did decide to go to one school, which will feature their story as a two-minute clip on our daily perspectives program. It'll also go on our webpage, actually. So when people go to saltandlighttv.org to the Brother Andre webpage, we'll put all three clips that we're featuring this week on there. One was a family, the Canton family. Brother Andre actually visited southwestern Ontario twice. And there's a family, the Canton family, they've kept the archives of any letters, communication, his cross, you know, the sledgehammer he used to push down the pike where they would put the St. Joseph statue in a small town, things like that.
Mm.
We were able to visit that family. Pilgrims that we interviewed, different things, getting ready for the canonization coverage. Everything's just really exciting. A lot of interest, people Facebooking us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was healed by Brother Andre. You know, I have these stories, people telling us about so many different things. So it's a great, great story, like a wide interest in the Canadian
yeah,
church.
Yeah. It sounds like what an exciting time in the church to be able to have such positive media and to be able to use the media, like you said, a lot of the secular media who aren't going to understand the spirituality of Brother Andre. They're not going to understand the Congregation of Holy Cross. And so you have an opportunity, and we as a larger Catholic a media community to educate, but we have to be doing our best to provide the message and the story and to not take any of that Christ-centered message away from what we do. And maybe we'll see some changed hearts in the telling of the story. Wouldn't that be a great witness to faith?
That would be amazing.
Amen. Amen to this. When you were traveling, Mary Rose, with the rest of the staff, going to these different locations here in Oregon and then over in New Hampshire, was there from the beginning of the trip to the end of the trip, did you notice kind of the whole staff? How did you change? Did you change over? I just can't imagine being absorbed with Brother Andre for like a week and a half. That's got to do something powerful.
Well, you know what? I didn't know much about him. But I felt sort of something about him just sort of drew me. Such a simple man. So I read more about him. Actually, the biography written by Jean-Guy Dubuc helped me a lot to just get into his spirit. The way he wrote that book was incredible. So he began with the funeral, and that gave us the idea, you know what? I want to go show snippets of the funeral because it is... gives you an idea of who is this man, you know, why in, you know, 1937 all these people came. As Father Ron actually says in the film, you know, there were no cell phones, no jet planes, but everybody knew who this man was. So when we went, I think part of it was knowing, okay, there's this great man we're going to tell a story about, but what happened, I think part of the change is seeing that it's not just a story of a man who died. It's the story of a man who continues to live and make an impact on people's lives. And when people say, I still talk to Brother Andre, he still makes a difference for me. When I do something, I consult Brother Andre. What would he say? You know, what did he say in my heart? So meeting these people, especially everywhere in the States that we went, Portland, Oregon, obviously with Father Ron and his staff, Notre Dame, Indiana, we met Father Andre Leveille, a chaplain at the Holy Cross Village there at Notre Dame. He told us stories that he learned from one of Brother Andre's superiors at the time. And he just sat at the foot of the superior and just asked him all the stories. So he told us a few personal stories. And so Brother Andre for us became more alive, such a simple man, and just wanted to pray for people. He just didn't know how to handle all that suffering. I learned more about how to handle suffering. It's not to tell people, you're going to be fine, you're going to be just fine. Because as one young Holy Cross priest said, how do you know you're going to be just fine? You don't know, but you just had to listen to people because they're not asking you to tell them everything's going to be fine because they know you don't know, but they're asking you to listen and be like Brother Andre, to learn to listen and to help people understand the meaning of suffering. It's not about, as the same Holy Cross priest said in the documentary, Brother Andre's mission was not to eliminate suffering, but to help people understand it and live with it. Mm. So that was really beautiful. That was a message I learned in Notre Dame. And in Manchester, New Hampshire, there was this one Holy Cross sister who went to high school in Montreal around the time of Brother Andre, and she would see him. She and her friends would just see him and be fascinated by him, his reputation, and just there was just something about him. So seeing that and just the impact he had on the French-Canadian community and the people there in Manchester, New Hampshire, no exaggeration, there were at least 6-7 people who came up to me and said, I have a great story, a healing story in my family. But obviously we couldn't do them all. So I asked them to write for a blog or salt on my blog and share their stories there because I couldn't film it. I really had to be very, very choosy or else I'd come back with 200 hours of tape. That wouldn't be good. So I learned about all these things about just how important he is for people, you know, and I never knew how much of the French Canadian community really, really remember him and respect him and love him and think him as part of their family. So there was that sort of, it became more personal for me, listening to these people, hearing these people, going to the heart of Brother Andre's message, which I discovered along the way, and not necessarily before going, but it sort of deepened in me and made me understand or almost get to know a person, you know, get to know them, so much of them, through the people who love them.
Hmm. Well, it's what a great story to be able to experience that. And we pray that we're going to see some of that through the heart of this documentary. Again, this documentary, God's Doorkeeper, first time you'll be able to watch it is on the internet at saltandlighttv.org. And the premiere will be 6 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock Eastern time on the website. And just go to the Brother Andre link and you'll be able to see it right there. Mary Rose with us, producer of that documentary. Father Ron, we've just got a couple more moments to kind of close up. And I'm just so glad you've had opportunity to hear some reflections from Mary Rose, because I know you're kind of praying about how this is all going to kind of come together as a documentary. But maybe as we have a few moments to reflect upon the value of reflecting on the life of Brother Andre for ourselves. And we hope the next generation will know Brother Andre in an intimate way.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to thank Mary Rose for all your work and for all your dedication in this project. I really, really appreciate all of your energy in this, Mary Rose.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, and hope that we can work together again someday on something.
Hopefully, God willing.
Yeah, and right, the message of Andre here, I think, is that God is very dedicated to people who survive poverty and illness and disease and alienation. And it is in that message in which Andre welcomed people, his hospitality, his healing, and offering people hope are the three key words for me that really sums up Andre. And as we leave today, I certainly want to invite people who are in the Portland area to join us at the Downtown Chapel on Sunday at 10 a.m. for our Eucharist. And we will have a couple of young people who have been volunteers at our place for some years and who are going to be speaking as well at Mass on their kind of revitalization of their own faith and their interest in Andre and the ways in which they have come to serve people in poverty. And I think it'll be very interesting to hear from those two young people. So come to the Downtown Chapel, 10 a.m. on Sunday. Pray with us and rejoice with us that one of our brothers is now officially a saint, or
Amen.
Will be officially a saint.
Amen to that. Mary Rose, thank you so much for your yes. We thank you for the yes of Catholic media. I am so encouraged to see what's happening up in Canada. And I know we have Canadian listeners who listen to our streaming online. So we really get to share in this mission of evangelization. And I guess I just invite you to share a final thought with our listeners about taking hold of our faith. And as you mentioned earlier about how you really had these wonderful training to really use what God's given you to promote the gospel message. And God's given you, opened up the door, allow you to do that in your work with Salt and Light. A message for that hope of evangelization and for the youth, the young adults out there, to really take hold of their faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I've been living in my life and also learning more through covering the story of Brother Andre Bessette is the importance of listening. Because I really only learn to listen when I listen to God speak to me in my heart. And then I get to learn to listen to the call he has placed in my heart. And that's how I got to saltandlighttv.org. I mean, saltandlighttv.org, I'm always saying the website name, to Salt and Light Television. And that was because I was listening. It may not make sense all the time. Or, I might think, I'm unprepared. Like, what does this mean? Why me? I have my plans all set. You know, what does this mean? But even then, just listening, just keep on listening and trusting. So I'm sure there are a lot of young people out there who are called to communicate the gospel, either through their parish, their schools, or through media. And we need them, and it's just a matter of listening. You know, if God calls you, it may not make sense all the time, and you might think you're unprepared, or just like Brother Andre, who are you? You're just a simple person, uneducated, you know. That's what he was thinking. He was thinking he was unprepared for whatever he was being called to do, and ends up going to a congregation focusing on education. For somebody who's uneducated, that must be a huge stumbling block. But when God calls, God gives everything you need for that vocation. And so that's one message I'd like to leave, that God calls, and if he calls, he's in charge. And so you just follow.
Yeah, so true, so true. Mary Rose, thank you. We hope we have you come back again, share with us more exciting programs that are being offered through Salt and Light TV. And again, I want to encourage people to check out that documentary. It is on the website at saltandlighttv.org. Father Ron, again, thank you for your yes, for your On the Margins program, and all of the many works that you do to bring that to KBVM so we can share that with the rest of the world.
And thank you so much, Dina.
Yeah, amen. We're going to pray with the Congregation of Holy Cross over the weekend. KBVM will broadcast through EWTN the canonization live. It'll be about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, so you certainly can wake up very early if you don't happen to do that, or you could check it out on EWTN television. We will rebroadcast that canonization mass, and that will be Monday morning, 8 a.m., God willing. So we will be happy to bring that to you here at KBVM.FM. Father Ron, please help us close this time in prayer and with your blessing.
Thank you. Ever gracious and merciful God, giver of all that is, open our hearts to the possibility and wonder of your love, and renew within us a great sense of hospitality, of healing, of hope in your presence. Help us always to remain grateful, and help us to serve you daily with a heart that listens and embraces your word. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Ron Rabb with us from the downtown chapel again. He's inviting you to join them for Mass on Sunday morning, October 17th, the date of the canonization of Brother Andre, and they will offer some special prayers as well as, of course, the Eucharist at 10 o'clock. So if you're in our local area, please be welcome to join them in that time of celebration. And just for today, as we close, I will remember this from the Gospel of Matthew. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. When your knees begin to shake, plant them in the heart of prayer." God be with you today and always. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person. Have a very blessed day.